revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has taught us and born us and treasured his name. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Let's mark our psalm books, number 705. 705. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 102. 102. And after this song, J.L., would you lead us in prayer?
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all day.
Safe at home right now. Isaiah is one of the outstanding prophets of the Old Testament of the Bible. The Lord God of heaven exalted him to that position, gave him the information that he needed, and he began to impart that information to the people of Judah during the time of his life. Isaiah maintained an idea that's very close to the thoughts that we see in various other passages of the Old Testament, and makes us wonder, did he read that? Did he see that and sense that as he went along? For example, in Proverbs 15 at verse 22, without counsel, Solomon wrote, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are well established. Who would guide the people? Who would order the people? Who would instruct the people what to do as they went along the way, their duties and responsibilities? Isaiah says God in heaven would do that. The word of the Lord would be revealed. And how that, as we know this morning in Isaiah chapter 2, the Lord's house would be built and exalted above the hills, and all nations would flow unto it. The idea of following God's way and God's will is concept in that. And again, in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, your purposes are disappointed. Whatever the purpose that you might have, if you want to build a house without information, without previous counsel considered, you're apt to use the wrong materials, the wrong paint, the wrong colors, the wrong everything about it arranged. But with that experience of having the counsel before you, and the multitude of counselors, meaning that again and again, you studied it out and see that just about everybody you respect and love and appreciate for their good work, and others compliment for their good workmanship and so forth and so on. In the multitude of counselors, your purposes are well established, because you're following after things that others have practiced and done, and others have complimented. And as a result, you want to say that I want to use that good builder too. I want to use that good idea too. I want to use that good wood also. I don't know that the yellow wood that came out just a few years ago is any better than the old wood that was presented by the lumber companies. But I do know this. I do know that they advertise better in regard to that yellow wood. You'd have to have some experience with it. And you'd have to work with it. And to put it all throughout the house that you're building without any consideration of how it affected by the weather, the heating and the cooling and so forth so on, would be a mistake. We need to be people who find ourselves maybe with a little bit of it utilized. And as a result of that, we see how it feathers out in regard to the weather conditions, the heating and the cooling and so forth so on. I didn't know till just a little while ago in time that you could have olives, for example. Wonderful dish. I love black olives. I love the green olives. I enjoy olives. But do you know that they can grow mold on top of them? If they just have just a little time and a little bit of air, and even though they may be in a refrigerator, cool, there can be a yellow, whitish, black mold to be on it. And when that gets in our digestive system, if we say, well, I just push it away and everything, no, no. Mold has, as our good studies can be done and look under a microscope, you can see that mold has tenants that go throughout that piece of bread. Although it has a green spot here, it has tentacles that go just like spider webs of feet that go out, all the way to the edge of that piece of bread. So you say, well, I'm going to get this pizza bread over here. It doesn't have that green to it, but it has a tentacle to it. And when that goes in our digestive system, it can create some havoc. That can create some trouble because it's so different than the sugars and the starches and the proteins and the foods of fats that we need in our body. It's so different than the salt that we get or the potassium that we get in our system that helps us to live and go on. when somebody says, oh, well, that's too much salt. Well, it may be too much salt, but salt is necessary for us to maintain life. It'll be the case that in regard to our lives, potassium can be there, and we can drink some water. Oh, in summertime, we can drink enough water to wash out all the potassium in our body and be dangerous to us living. We'll have some times in which our minds are not as clear as they ought to be, and we're not as clear as we even recognize that they used to be. And we wonder what and how and why it is. And it may be for all the extra water that we've consumed, and with the salts and the potassiums being flushed out of our body, along with the liquid products that are flushed out of our body, there goes that right there. Well, is it good to have that much? No. But where do you stop? Where do you say, well, wait a minute, let me think about this. Or do you add some products that have the potassium to it as you drink the water along the way? Now then, fresh potassium coming into the system, and you can go right along. And it's not just in the way of bananas that you have that potassium to come into your system. But it's so good to study those particular things and beware. And that's what Proverbs 15:22 is telling us about every venture of life that we may choose to encounter. Without purpose, your Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, your purposes will be disappointed. I want to have good health. I want to have good health. I want to be good. I want to be refreshed. But without counsel, your purpose will be disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, if you study it out along with others, you study it out the situation, you'll find these things to be true and accurate regarding mold in the place of it, mildew in the place of that, and you'll find it to be true, and you will avoid some pitfalls that will hurt your body and maybe even extend your life beyond the years it would be otherwise. Because you are smarter. You have considered many counselors, and you've well established your purpose. You've well established the purpose. Along the way in life, we find ourselves following God's will and God's way. And Isaiah is telling the people, here's a way for you to do. Here's a way for you to behave. Here's a way for you to follow God. Here's a way for you to pray. Here's a way for you to sing. Here's a way for you to bow down and worship to Him in a righteous way. You'll find that in Isaiah 5. You'll find that in Isaiah 10. You'll find that in Isaiah 15. Chapter 5, 10 and 15. You'll find that in 20. You'll find that in 25. You'll find that all the way to chapter 65. You'll find the ideas of Isaiah telling us that we need to have good counsel in order to be well established. Now let me take you back to the words of David here in Psalm 37 and verse 22 and 23 and 25. David in Psalm 37 tells us, I have been young and now I'm old. But I have never seen. What have you never seen, David? What in the world can you tell us that you just never have seen? You never seen this sort of thing. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I never saw God forsake the righteous. I never saw any indication that they were suffering mightily because of the circumstances that they decided in life. This good counsel about following God's way was being practiced by those doing right, because that's righteousness. I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the children, the seed of the righteous, begging bread. I've never seen out there beggars on the street begging substance of bread from passers-by who had the idea that they came from parentage that was anything other than righteous conduct. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I ever seen his seed, his children, begging bread. There can be persecution to come our way because of the fact that we live in a time in which there are persecutions that could come. Isaiah knew that persecutions were going to come from the hands of those who were around them, the nations around them. But he was nevertheless fulfilling the idea that God's way and God's will was to be made righteous in his heart and in his life and all the people that he taught to be right doing. How in the world did the people in Jesus' day cling to Isaiah and miss the Christ who came? How did they do that? Was it the case that instead of them having the counsel put in the right place in their heart? You see, good counsel is good for us when we place it so we can remember it's there. And when we have it in our heart and we think about it, and we think about it in the morning when we wake up, and we thank God for the rest of the night, we thank him for the opportunities of the day, and we thank God for being with us as we arise and go about in our right minds, as I heard the old brother say in his prayer one day, that he raised us up in our right mind to be able to go about our day. And as we get to the noontime of the day, we think because of the meal that we're going to have, just a sandwich, just a light moment of sandwich time, we just forget all about God. We just have that good bologna sandwich, and bologna is good. I like it a little thicker than it is in the package that I buy. And the package that I buy, I put two of them over there on that thing. I like it a little thicker than what it is cut. But when it's there, do I eat it without thinking about God? And he made it possible for me to have strength derived from this. He made it possible for me to go on with this day. What a blessing I have in regard to this, and how I thank God. I really thank him from my heart that this is provided for me. This is something that's been studied through the years. Do you realize that there was a time in the which there were sailors on ships coming across the ocean blue, coming to the place of Americas that they knew that was here finally, by the way? And you know the story because you've read it about Columbus. He thought he was in this place when in fact he was not in this place that we call home in America. He found himself in another place. But he retraced his steps, retraced his efforts, and found himself ultimately where we are today in America. But in the ship, there were sailors that were there. They got things called rickets and scurvy as a disease. Their teeth began to decay and fall out. The gums of their teeth became sore and raw. And they had something right there that they were carrying and bringing over this way. Someone had put that in there, and they found a crate or two or three or 10, 12 of tomatoes. But because somebody had no experience with it, they were declared to be poisonous. So they wouldn't dare slice a tomato or eat a tomato whole. Take a bite out of it? No, they'd fight you. They'd fight one another. The idea of that. But that's what they did. And people died as a result of that particular awareness. They didn't have that information to know that this was good. It's a good vitamin C. It's a good thing to help. It helps those things that would cause you to have infections in your teeth and on your gums. But they were never used. I don't know if the crates were hauled to the side and cast overboard or something like that along the way. I don't doubt that that might be the case. I don't know of any verified things about that, what they did, but I know they didn't use it. And the death rate showed. That's what Dr. Ismael Semmelweis in Poland didn't take for the childbirth fever. Women got down in the street in Poland. They got down in the street in Vienna, Austria, and bore a child there on the public sidewalk rather than go into the hospital, because the hospital was where all the death rate, 85% of those children born died, and many of them, half of that number, 44% of the women themselves died. It was nicknamed a childbirth fever. And women who found themselves with child had fear all the way through. And on their way to being delivered by a doctor of the time, they'd rather stop, feign illness and sickness, and bear the child on a street than go on down the block and get into the hospital. Dr. Semmelweis, and by the way, there you see in the World Book Encyclopedia pictures of the monument that's been set up for him, not in his lifetime, but after he was his death and everything, it was found to be the case by others who considered the study. And studying something to be true and finding out to be true has never made it untrue. You know, you find something to be there, to be available to you. And Isaiah is saying to the people of your day and time, be students of this. Follow God's way. Prove God's way. Be the kind of person that you ought to be in His way. Dr. Semmelweis got into the hospital there. He was a nice man, a very big man, orderly man. Dr. Semmelweis, spelled with S-E-M-L, Semmelweis. If you do a Google on him, S-E-M-L, you'll find him. He was given charge of the family development section of the hospital there in Vienna, Austria. And Dr. Semmelweis had an idea that what was being created was a thing that they didn't have the word germs so ready and available at that day and time, before the Civil War time, about 1860, 1850, so forth, he was there. But he thought that there were microbes that came off the hands of the doctors, because their first order of business early in the morning when they came to school was to go downstairs into the morgue and to operate on and find the organs and how they were arranged in the body and the various things of study about medicine. And they did not wash their hands when they then went upstairs, and the first place that they went upstairs was the maternity ward to investigate the progress of the childbirth or the child that had been born. And he reasoned that something was amiss in their grip, in their hands, in their fingernails, that caused this death rate to be so high. So he talked to them about having wash basins, so that they could wash their hands before they entered into that ward. And you would have thought that he asked for them to give $1,000 a person to get inside that ward because they were mad and upset. The idea they want to wash their hands. What in the world is on our hands? This is the human body down yonder and all this blood is here and everything, and there's no problem in that. And they argued and fussed about it, but the hospital administration said, go ahead and do that, for Dr. Zimmelweis is pretty sure of this sort of thing, in some kind of contact with that. And so they did. And they reduced the amount of death to almost 5%. Now, there's a big difference between 84% and 5% in anything. And I like to get, my dad passed away thinking we'd always have 6% interest in the bank and everything. You can't do business without 6% interest. He thought always that would be the way. But of course it changed within a year or two of his passing away. And I know that he would have been up to the bank talking to him about that and reducing his money to put it somewhere else and everything. But where else could you put it to get the interest rate like that? But I know that 84% versus 5% is a big difference. And they were amazed about it. But one day, lo and behold, the childbirth fever was back once again. He got the doctors together and talked with them about what had happened. One of the young doctors had decided that here was a person who was already sick when the lady came to deliver the child. She had infection. And without washing his hands after he examined her, he went to the next one and the next one and the next one in the ward, and each one that he went to developed that same problem, the childbirth fever. So the new order comes out from him to them that before they go on further in this thing, they need to wash their hands between each patient. Now, you and I know that that's the case, because when we go to a dentist nowadays, he tires us out washing his hands. He goes in our mouth and then he goes away from it, and he comes back and he washes his hands again and he comes back to us, and he'll wear us out washing his hands nowadays and everything. But that's a very necessary thing. They didn't do that in New York City just a few years ago, and Dr. Zimmelweis showed up there by way of design, and they gave an order to be sure to wash your hands before they did. And now then, I notice in most all the restaurants, they have a sign there, employees must wash your hands before you come back in, you know, do the work that you do there with the food items. The howl went up because it was trouble to go get the water. The extra buckets they had to buy to get the water there sufficient for all the doctor students. The linen cloth to dry the hands on once you got them washed. And then they had to be washed and fixed up after that time. All that went on. And Dr. Zimmelweis was released from his command, although his ward went down to almost zero in death rate. What had he done? I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Without purpose, without counsel, your purpose is disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they're well established. Dr. Zimmelweis went through a multitude of things like that. He moved to another hospital. The same thing took place along the way. It was wonderful, wonderful results that came about. Women no longer stopped in the street to bear the child. They would come on in to the hospital and have care, good care, most of the time. But eventually he was rejected and denied. Eventually this worried his mind so much that he virtually lost his mind. They put him in an insane asylum in that day and time. And most of the studies of that will probably say in your books that you read about him is that he was scratched in a fight that went on, pushing and shoving among the inmates of that particular ward. and that he was scratched on his arm. He was scratched rather deeply and bled, and that he developed the infection and died from that within a few weeks of being put in that place. Dr. Semmelweis was a good man, good ways, and we benefit from him today in American life. And like I say, there's monuments that are set up to him, and it's a fitting monument. It's a fitting monument because he is there standing above a mother with a child in her arms. What a precious scene. The white marble monument is there to his credit. Let's think about the things that we talk about. We talk about Isaiah and his work with them and Isaiah and his work. I want you to turn with me, as I mentioned about this, to Isaiah chapter 25 and notice what he said in regard to the thoughts. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels, where do we read that word before counselors? Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and true. And he goes on to talk about the wonderful blessings. And before he leaves this thought in this chapter 25, he comes back to it and he says this in verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Can we not all say amen for the knowledge that we have about God and his counsel? It's a good thing. God bless you. Thank you for listening and studying with me tonight. This is a precious part of Isaiah's study that in these chapters is unveiled to us. And I go back to the ideas of the wise Ben Solomon and David before him. It is the case that counsel, in the multitude of counsel, your purposes are established. May God bless us all in the work that we have. And it's a joy to be with you tonight. Thank you for listening, and I trust enjoying these studies with me along the way throughout these years. I've enjoyed these years. I'm not planning to go anywhere else, so you're saddled with me until you say, no, no, Robert, you get gone. But I love to be here, and I love your work with me, and thank you for cooperating. When people ask me, how are the brethren doing? A couple of ladies this afternoon came to visit, and they were talking with me about how's everything going. I told them about various ones here and everything and all the good, and I said, listen, anytime we put up a list on the bulletin board, these folks go like little covey of quail to it and sign up to help and assist in that way. And I said, it's just outstanding, wonderful. And they were delighted to hear it. Everybody is, and so are we. God bless you all. As this song is provided tonight, let's stand together and sing this good old hymn to remind us of God's way.
Who will follow Jesus for the right,
holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.
Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply?
I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to Him, lifting prayers above. Courage, faithful servant, in His word we see, on our side forever will this Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Our blessed Redeemer, King of hosts, wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.